You know, our Bible talks about Jesus in the New Testament, and so wonderful. Now, this time of year, we think about Jesus born from a virgin that God anointed. Praise the Lord. And how that he grew up to be a man and died on the cross for us. What a wonderful thing that is to know the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I have some things I'm going to pass up, but these are some things that I found online. There are 47 Old Testament verses about Jesus as Messiah. And there may even be more than that. But in studying this and reading this, it was just beautiful. And for instance, it tells that Messiah would be born of a woman. That's in the very first book of Genesis, Genesis 3:15. That the Jesus, that doesn't say Jesus, but Jesus would come and would take up the thing, the sin that had come into the world through Adam and Eve. And going on, Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Jesus would be born of the line of Abraham. Jesus would be a descendant of Isaac. Jesus would be a descendant of Jacob. Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. Messiah would be heir to the King David's throne. Messiah's throne will be anointed and eternal. Messiah would be called Emmanuel. Messiah would spend a season in Egypt. And that happened, you know, as a little baby. They had to take him off down to Egypt. A massacre of children would happen at Messiah's birthplace. That's prophesied in the Old Testament. And as I said, there's a number of these. There's actually three pages. I'm going to pass these out to you. But in the meanwhile, we're going to look at, turn with me to Genesis, the third chapter. This is the verse I referred to a while ago, that the Son of God was spoken of clear back here in the very first book, Adam and Eve in the garden. They had sinned, they had disobeyed God, and the Lord brings out this beautiful verse telling them what's going to happen. Remember that the serpent, which was Satan in that being there in that garden, he was the one that got Eve especially interested and caused her to desire to have that fruit, which was actually wrong, and Adam went along with her. So let's look at the third chapter of Genesis, verse 15. This is the first one of those verses that we have in this list. He says, is this God speaking? The Lord God said in verse 14, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. Jesus Christ was the one that was bruised by Satan. Now, Satan took advantage and tempted them, and they had sinned, and they got cast out of the garden, and Adam and Eve both had to leave the garden and raise their children in the wilderness. It was a very difficult thing. And but this speaking to it shall bruise thy head, that's Jesus that it's talking about. The cross of Christ came time for him to die for our sins, and he bruised the serpent's head. Before that, there were a lot of works, a lot of things that were going on. But there were individuals who really trusted in God and believed God for his grace and his mercy to help them. And so, but especially since Jesus Christ died on the cross, he bruised the serpent's head. The serpent does not have, old devil, he does not have authority over us at all. Even though we are humans, we have Christ, and Christ is the wonderful, wonderful person that gives us strength and victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. I remember that in the New Testament, Matthew, the first chapter, verse 20, how God spoke to Joseph there and told him to not be afraid, you know, to go ahead and marry Mary, and make her merry. Praise the Lord. She was happy, I'm sure. because she had obeyed the Lord and had been conceived by the Holy Spirit, that the little child that would come forth from her body would be the Son of God, the Messiah. That's what they were looking for as Jews. We praise God that we know the Savior of the world. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And this is found in Isaiah 7:14. Look in your Bible in Isaiah 7:14. Now, I'll tell you to begin with, I'm not going to read all these verses, okay? Because I think you should find that's relief, that you don't have to listen to all of that. But we're going to go to Isaiah, the 7th chapter, verse 14, and we're going to read this verse. Now, this was in B.C. 742. It's a long time back. And what did God do? He revealed through Isaiah that the Lord was going to bring his son to the world in the sense of having a virgin conceived. This is what this says in verse 14 of chapter 7. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Do any of you know? God with us. That's great. I'm glad you know that. Our Emmanuel is with us right now. Praise the name of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? A virgin would conceive and bear a child. Now, the next thing is found in Micah, which is that direction on away from Isaiah. If you don't know, Micah is another Old Testament scripture. Now remember that these were long time before Jesus came about on the earth. We're going to look in chapter 5, verse 2. Now, he already said that the Lord would come of a virgin. Okay, where is he going to be born? Back here in Micah 5, we see that in verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And that's so true, isn't it? Jesus lived in the heavens with God the Father for all, we don't know how many times, you know, years, and we put it in years. Whatever that time was before, Jesus was always right there with his Father. And he, in this place, says that he's going to become the ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from of old, from everlasting. See, the plan was a long, long time back. God had his way in everything that was done in the past in the Old Testament to produce this, that Jesus Christ would come and be the Messiah of Israel. I pray for Israel. But I'm telling you, from the statistics, it shows that the majority of the Israelites over there in Israel don't believe in God. That's a sad thing, and I think of that, and I think God may be allowing all this trial and test and everything to try to get them to seek after him and believe, because time is short. All right, the third thing we're going to look at is Isaiah 7:14. So turn back in the book of Isaiah. Now, these are all prophecies from the Old Testament that God had all this time, years and years and years before Jesus came. If the Jews had been really who they should have been, they would have read the scripture and said, oh, this is the Messiah. They didn't, though. They weren't reading the scripture very much, to tell you the truth, because they really didn't know. So this is Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Suppose that's Jesus? Definitely, it's Jesus. Of the increase of his government, that word means rule, his rule. How long is he going to rule? This government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We don't have to worry about it not happening, because it happened. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, the right city of the... See, that's David's country. Okay. Jesus is, in the natural, he's a relative of King David. Clear on down the line. Isn't that an amazing thing? Of course, in the spirit, he is not in that. He's the Son of God. But Matthew, the first chapter, is where Mary looked to the Lord. The Lord spoke to her and told her that she was going to conceive and become the mother of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. What a thing that was. A really hard thing, wasn't it? So let's look right here while we're in Isaiah. Let's go back to chapter 7. And we're going to look at another prophecy. Think of this, 742 years before Christ. Here in chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. If Israel had been reading the word like they should have seen. There's a sign. When we get this sign, we know that it's the Messiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. God is with us. And that's the verse we had up there. We didn't go ahead and look at it a while ago, but Emmanuel, yes, we did. You know, I'm getting older, so sometimes I don't always remember everything. So just bear with me. I'm kidding you. Okay. All right. So praise the Lord. Now, the next thing, I'm not going to go over this 40-something different things. I'm just going to go over a few of them. That Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. If you know the Old Testament, you know that Judah and Benjamin were two tribes that stood by God more and longer than the other tribes. The other tribes, the 10 tribes, went away and were just idolaters and everything else. But the Lord, Judah was the tribe that the Lord God had prescribed that from Judah would come the Lord Jesus as the Savior. So let's go back to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. We're going to read verse 9 through 10. You know, this is clear in the first part of the Bible, isn't it? And time, part of the early time, actually, even though it is 1689 and chapter 49. Okay, so we're going to just look right there at verse 9. Judah is a lion's whelp. That was the thing that you know, each one of them had a kind of an animal or something that they... And, of course, Judah, they were the lion tribe. And from them came King David. And David, from David, of course, on down came then the birth of Jesus Christ after the seed of David. And it says, from the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up. The scepter, see, there would be a kingship in this group of people that would be from Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Who's Shiloh? Jesus. Christ the Lord is Shiloh. Praise the Lord. It is another name for Messiah. And you know, in the original language in Greek, it means tranquil, something that is very tranquil. And that is what the Lord Jesus is. He is the ruler of all the earth, and he is a faithful and beautiful Lord, isn't he? And so Shiloh would come, and this tribe of Judah, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, praise the Lord. So that's another prophecy that we have there of the Lord Jesus that was way, way back in time. Now, number five is, hey, I got 30 minutes. I just say these funny things. So if you look real sad or something, then I can't help it. It's old age. Okay, Messiah would be the heir to King David's throne. In Romans, the first chapter, verse 2, it says this, which he, speaking of God, had promised by his prophets, in verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ, which was made of the seed of David. We might think, well, he was the son of God. Why did he have to be of the seed of a human being? Because he had to die. That was the whole plan. Humans die. Gods don't die. Say, God our Father, God the Son. So let's look now in 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, verse 8. You guys have to be faster. I'm here. 2 Samuel 7, beginning with verse 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David. He's talking about the David of the Old Testament that was the king. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote. See, he was just a little shepherd boy, from following the sheep to be ruler over my people, over Israel. I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and I've cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of great men that are in the earth. Now go down to verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. We're waiting, aren't we? We know the kingdom of heaven. The Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven. And we know we belong to the kingdom of heaven. We're born again. We're the children of the living God. But one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth, and he is going to really show who is God, who is the ruler of this world. Praise the Lord. So the Messiah. Now, the sixth thing we're going to look at is in the book of Psalms, and this is chapter 2. Chapter 2 of the book of Psalms. Go to that place. See, this is good exercise for all of you. We don't always hop around from one place to another, but this is a good place. Going to the second of Psalms, Psalms 2. This is in verse 7. We're going to be, let's see, let's go ahead and read verse 6. This is, you know, King David was the king at that time, but when this is a prophecy in verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Have you ever thought about why people never see these things in the Old Testament? I mean, these things are talking about Jesus in the New Testament. And here, even though it says he speaks to this king up on my holy hill of Zion, he calls him, thou art my son, speaking of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I think it is. Now, verse 8. Ask of me, and I will shall give the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Verse 12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. He's not talking about David. David made mistakes. But Jesus Christ is a blessed one, and everyone can put their trust in him. This is just one of the prophecies in the Old Testament. I'm going to give you those sheets. There's a lot of them on there. And it shows us, though, the beauty. Remember John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We usually just quote that together, don't we? Now, the next one is number 7, that Messiah would be called the King. And this is in Zechariah. If you don't know where that is, it's the latter part of the Old Testament. And we're going to look at chapter 9. There are so many more of these. I hope that when you get the sheets I'm going to give you, that you take your time just to look up these things, because these are all prophecies of Christ coming to this earth. Okay, chapter 9. This chapter can be called Messiah as King. And we're going to go down to verse 9, okay? Verse 9 of chapter 9 of Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. What took place? We see it in Matthew 21, verse 1, 4, and 5, and verse 6, and verse 9. Jesus told them, go and find this donkey, and bring this donkey, and bring her little animal, whatever it is called, her little colt. Bring that with the donkey. So a lot of times when we see in a movie or in a play that somebody does, they just have one animal with Jesus riding on it. But behind, dragging along behind, was the little donkey. The little baby was taken also. It's a beautiful thing, praise the Lord, to just see what the Lord did. He was lowly, wasn't he? The kings in those days rode white horses mostly, but Jesus rode a little old donkey and went there and showed who he really was to Israel. And they were shouting and they were praising and they were throwing their leaves on the ground and they, oh, this is Messiah and so forth. It didn't last very long. Very soon, just a few days, they arrested him and took him to be crucified. That was in the plan of God, though, and you know, you and I cannot change any of those things like that. Since we're here in Zechariah, let's go to the 11th chapter of Zechariah, and we're going to look at verse 12. This is such a prophecy here. You think that somebody just kind of made it up. That's what a lot of people would think. How could it be back here in B.C. 487 when Jesus did this? You know, this happened way down there. Okay, so let's go to verse 12. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed my price 30 pieces of silver. You all know that. The price that Judas went and desired a price of money to betray Christ, and it was 30 pieces of silver, just like this Old Testament thing writes right here. And notice in verse 14, then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. That really doesn't have anything. Let's go ahead and read verse 13. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver, and I cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Remember that? Old Judas went back to the people there, supposed to be godly people, and the priests and all of that, and he said, I don't want to betray Christ. I don't want to do that. And so he just threw the money on the ground. And if you read that again, remember what they did? Well, we can't use this money. It's dirty money. I wonder why they didn't think of that before. but they didn't until it got thrown on the ground. And what are we going to do with this money? Okay, we're going to buy a potter's field. That's where they buried the poor people. Couldn't afford to be buried in a good, better place or something. Right there, and it's prophesied right here in Zechariah. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Praise the Lord. Going on then, one more, Isaiah 61. I'm just going to give you two more, okay? Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Now remember, some of you may not be aware how all of these prophets that I'm reading about here that are saying different things are really men of great, great faith and great wonders that God just revealed all these things to them. And can you see how beautiful this is that God allowed them to write it all down? Praise the Lord. Isaiah 61, 1 through 2. This is what Jesus came for right here, the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. See, this is a prophecy of Christ. That's what he did. He came to this earth. He was anointed by the Father. He brought forth good tidings, salvation to all that would believe. He bound up the brokenhearted. He's still doing that. Praise the Lord. He bound up the brokenhearted. He proclaimed the liberty to the captives. The salvation that he brought to us has set us free from sin and death, from going to hell. Praise the Lord. We are the children of the living God. Hallelujah. Now notice this verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He is comforting all of us that mourn. We know that we're very near the end of time. We really believe that. That's what the scripture teaches us. That Jesus Christ is going to come back again, and we are looking for that day to come. Now, turn back with me one more time, and this is it, and you get to go and eat. Psalms 110. I hope you don't think I'm silly, you know. Sometimes I feel like this, and other times I don't preach this way, but I want us just to understand how much the Lord loves us, how much he cares for us. So here in Psalms 110, isn't it beautiful to realize what the Bible's doing? The Old Testament, you know, way, way back there, before Jesus even came on the earth, here this Old Testament, the Lord used that so much to emphasize the coming Christ, the coming Messiah. So verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That first Lord, do you see it? L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's God. His name is always capitalized in the Old Testament. So when it says, the Lord said to my Lord, the second Lord there is a different term. The first Lord is Jehovah. The second Lord is Adonai. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. What is happening right now? The Bible in the New Testament tells us Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, waiting to come back. When God the Father says, go, it's time to go. Praise the Lord. It's going to be so wonderful. In Matthew 16:19, it says, Jesus was received into heaven and set on the right hand of God. See how scriptural all of this is? It's the Holy Spirit showing us in the Old Testament things that are going to happen in the New Testament. In the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 69, this is where, let's go back in our text that we were, let's see. Let's go to the book of Luke and just read this. It will go with what we just said. Hold your place there in Psalm, okay? And let's go to the book of Luke real quickly. And this is chapter 22. And this is verse 69. As I was studying this, I thought, boy, this has got a lot of verses in it. Notice what it says. Now, this is Jesus is before the Sanhedrin. They're getting ready to take him off down to the mountain to crucify him. And so he is telling right here in this verse that we're going to read, verse 63, the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face. And they asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, the chief priests, the scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. So go back there to Psalm 10. We see that the Son of God is sitting at the right hand of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go down to verse 4 of this Psalm 110. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And that is exactly what is found in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. I want us to look at one more verse, and then we're going to go, we'll cancel out. But let's go to Zechariah again, and we're going to see another prophecy right there in that book of Zechariah in the Old Testament toward the end of the book. This is in the 9th chapter of Zechariah. What I'm trying to impress you with is that the Old and New Testament go together. Praise the Lord. Some people just want to be in the Old Testament. You know, they're always trying to keep the law and they're just doing that stuff, you know. But we live in the New Testament times, and so we have a lot, don't we? Chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of the ass. So we had this already a while ago, but I just wanted to emphasize that they were to rejoice greatly and shout for joy. And many of them did, but many of them didn't. And many of them didn't hold on to what they knew. And they were there, many of them, I'm sure, were there screaming and hollering, crucify him, crucify him. But praise the name of the Lord that he fulfilled all of those scriptures of the Old Testament just to help us out to really have reverence and respect for the Word of God. So precious, so precious. This Word of God, not just reading the New Testament, or some people just read the four Gospels and that's all they read. But we read the whole Word of God because it is all for us today. And we go back to the Old Testament and find prophecies that were fulfilled and were fulfilled by Jesus, by Apostle Paul, by others, you know. Glory to God. And many, many prophecies are being fulfilled today. Praise the Lord. Jesus is going to come, folks. It's going to be this time that he comes back again and is with us. Hallelujah. Brother Jim, would you come up and we'll sing one more song?